Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome.
I thought you were going to do the what's up.
What's up?
Okay, we need better coordination next time. I'm going to keep this running live, though. Okay, welcome back, listeners. Today, the topic, aging, longevity, the super hyper focus that, I don't know, seems to be everywhere in my life, maybe because I'm aging, but all of us are. So we're going to talk about all the things that we think about related to aging. So I was just telling my friends about a podcast I listened to. And the it was an interview. It was actually on, it was called People I Mostly Admire, really cool podcast by the guy who does who wrote Freakonomics, so Steve Levitt. And he had Ellen Langer on the podcast. I first read about her like 10 years ago when I was studying positive psychology. And a research study she did called that ended up in a book called Counterclockwise. And in the study, she took a group of elderly men who were, it was in 1979, and they, 1979, and they were 79 years old. Anyway, they're elderly men.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
They probably weren't 79. They were elderly. Okay. And then sent them to a resort for just 1 week. And the resort was as if it was 1959. So all the furniture, all the fixings, it looks like it's 1959. And the magazines they read, the TV shows they watched, the conversations they had were as if they were the same age as they were in 1959. Not reminiscing back on the remember when, but I am the clothes they wore. It's like I'm doing the things I did 20 years ago. And then at the end of the week, they measured all kinds of things, biometrics around aging, and they were all improved just by the people thinking they were and behaving like they were 20 years younger. So the podcast I just listened to wasn't about that book. It was about her most recent book. Since then, she's done decades of research and there's all kinds of cool studies about the effect of the mindset on your physical health and well-being. And so we could put the name of that book in the show notes. So here's my quandary. We look in the world and all the things go like, and I'll be 50 next year.
So
I know, right? I know I'm heading up to the best half of my life. And I don't know if it's me, because you know, when you're thinking about something, you see it everywhere, the blue car syndrome, you buy a blue car and you see blue cars everywhere. But it just seems like the world is hyper focused on aging and all the things that we need to do. People are, these long lists of you better sleep enough, but don't stress about sleep as you can't, you shouldn't be stressed either. Only eat vegetables, only eat, I don't know, organic. Dairy's really bad for you. Walk around with a weighted vest because you need to have your bone strength. Like all these things that we're doing to fight the effects of disease. And for goodness sakes, don't be a high stressed super achiever because you'll get some crazy autoimmune disease because of it. Like all these things are just making us more and more stressed. Then you add the layer on of, well, let's not look older. And so we mess with ourselves so that we can pretend that we're younger, but we're really fighting age. And so I just think it's a big problem in the world. If like our focus could be the completely wrong thing. So now over to you guys. How do we solve it? What do you do?
Is it a big problem or is it just we're the problem?
We're the problem.
We're the problem. Like the aging is natural, right? We are trying to stop, evolution and what's natural, or slow it down at least.
We're fighting it like it's bad. And maybe we need to embrace the whole thing and deal with it differently. Oh, I have another research study. This might be, I'll slow down.
Keep going.
Okay. So again, in my positive psychology studies, I came across a study called the Nun Study. And I don't know if I've ever talked to you guys about this, but the idea was to understand what factors contribute to longevity. And so they needed a population of people who basically live the same life. And so they took a population of nuns that were going into Notre Dame, because then they know that they could fix the conditions, what they eat, how they spend their time and all those things, they would be relatively the same. So that's why it's called the Nun Study. And as they went into the study, they were just asked to write biographies, like stories of their lives, but nothing like just, you know, write down the facts of your life as you see them. And then the study was a long-term study. So around the turn of the century, like all the nuns had passed, and independent reviewers went back and looked at some of the factors around these nuns. And they were looking for correlations between different things in longevity. Was it their level of faith? Was it their cultural background? Was it their ethnicity? Was it their IQ? And the only thing that where there was any correlation was the level of positivity written in their bios. And so then they had these four quartiles of, and I could share the research, but they had these four quartiles that the, you know, the people who lived the longest had the most positive words in their bios. So, you know, we all know that words matter. Words, you know, shape our experiences, but it was literally like some of the women would write, I am so grateful and I enter my, you know, my mission with joy and da 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 da. And the nuns that were in the bottom, it's not that they even had angry words. They just weren't happy. It was the absence of joy. So when you take all of these things together that clearly I've been thinking a lot about, I think my sound quality, I'm just going to check. When you add all those things together, we've got a lot of conflicting information about what to do and how to do it and how to live the best. And maybe we're doing the wrong thing. We just need to be happy and be mindful and use happy words. How's my sound quality now?
Perfect.
Good. Is it still okay? I'm happy about it.
I have a practical story.
Okay, tell us.
Probably about 8 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I started noticing patients coming in from this one family doctor in particular, referrals, right? And they all looked 20 years younger than they actually were, right? Oh. And I thought, man, at first I didn't think about it, but one after the other, after the other, after the other, finally, the one patient that I've been seeing for many, many years, I said to her, why is it that all of Dr. Schleifer's patients come in and they look 20 years younger than they actually are? She goes, don't you know what she does? I'm like, no. She goes, she's an integrative medical specialist. And she takes care of us at all levels, inside and out. And she said, you might want to have a conversation with her because you guys have a similar philosophy. And she ended up coming in for an eye exam a couple weeks after this conversation, coincidentally, right? And so I said to her, what are you doing in your practice that it's like the fountain of youth? Every woman that I see, I mean, she has some men in there, but it was primarily women. And her practice started from patients with cancer. So that's her thing. She supports patients post-cancer. And she said, why don't you come and I'll guide you through what exactly works within the body and how we work in order for the body to support itself. And I went for an hour. She spoke to me about Krebs cycle and all these things that we learned in biology at a very cellular level. And it was pretty basic in understanding, which I'm not going to talk about on the podcast. But it was so intriguing that I said, I want to be your patient. She said, is there anything wrong? And I said, no. I said, but I need to be healthy for my son who has cerebral palsy and I need to be at optimum health. And I ended up being her patient. The first physical took about 4 months. And by the time all the blood work, everything came in. And the way that she describes it, she says, your body is a chemical furnace that tells you everything when you know where to look. And she has a naturopath, right, which takes care of the nutritional stuff. She's medical doctor, but also a naturopath as well. But she works the medical doctor side. The naturopath works the nutritional side and a psychotherapist to work on the emotional side. And they sat me down for an hour and pulled out all my data and could actually tell me what's going on without the history, just based on the chemical furnace that was happening internally. And then anything that was emotional that affected the cortisol levels, anything that was happening in terms of nutrition, like, I mean, the whole thing was just unbelievable. And she would work in certain areas that I needed as an individual. Okay. And then after 2-3 years, I mean, there was a change, not just in how I felt, also how I looked, how I thought. And you guys hear me all the time saying, you know, I feel like I'm 29. It actually is true, right?
It's are you like 100 years old and not telling us?
Oh, at least 100. At least 100. No, but it's mindset's a big, I think a big thing, but you can't just say, oh, I'm going to be positive. I mean, you have to live it. And there's a multifaceted thing. But the key thing for the listeners is start somewhere and just do one thing at a time and do it long enough that it becomes natural for you, and pay attention to how you feel. Cause that's how you know, when you have energy levels that go up, that's how you know you're in the right direction. And then just add another thing. But I don't think it's a, let's look at what we need to do, cause everybody needs to do it. Right. It should be natural. I mean, you know, exercise should be natural. It shouldn't be, oh, I have to go out there and do it. You should feel excited. Well, you could speak on this. You're the yoga teacher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've thought more about aging just at this stage in my life. And now I'm thinking about things like strength and how we lose muscle mass as we grow, as we get older. Right. And so I'm thinking more about, if I want to lift a baby out of a crib at 80, I need to be doing things like lifting weights, because you lose what you don't use, right? So I do think about aging from that perspective. But generally speaking, I believe that the things that contribute to a healthy, happy, well-adjusted life are also the things that are going to contribute to a healthy, happy, well-adjusted older life. So eat well, exercise, sleep and stuff. I feel like, and maybe it's the commercialization of aging that's a thing, because it's not hard to be inundated with, I mean, I can't tell you how many Facebook groups are inviting me to be in the like women who work out over 50 or whatever now. Like I'm just at the door and I'm getting invited into a whole new world of things I could do and buy, or makeup for women who are over 50, or like just stuff.
Would you join that? Now you're 49, would you join that? And you go, absolutely a big no, because I'm not 50. You're trying to hold off on the 50. That's not me.
February 22nd, right after my birthday is the 21st. Yeah. So I'll sign up for all the over 50 things. I'll start buying supplements for over 50, like all the stuff, right?
It's weird, right? Because obviously you can't drink in the UK, you can't drink until you're 17. But of course you want to accelerate that. You want to go out, you know, you create fake IDs so you can accelerate it and go out earlier. But then we want to put the brakes on when we get elderly.
Totally. I can't remember the day that I wanted to be younger. Like what day of your life, like how old would you have been when you were like, oh, I wish I were.
Maybe 30s, maybe mid to late 30s.
Think so, yeah. Mm. Yeah. What do you think's your best decade?
Well, I think it depends on the life that you live, right? I mean, for us, we're always trying to improve and evolve. So I think I'd like to think it's going to be the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Otherwise you're not pushing yourself. I think if you say, you know, where I am right now, because the age is about a feeling, right? Okay, yes, of course, we look in the mirror and we go, you know, we looked better when we were 10 years younger, we had more hair, we were slimmer, we looked more beautiful, whatever it is. But how you feel is not just a two-dimensional thing. You know, we might spend 5 minutes of the day looking in the mirror, but what about the other 17 hours that we're awake, that we're not, you know, when we're in the car and we're talking to people, that all of that is how we feel, projects on, you know, who we are. So it can't just be, looking in the mirror. But, you know, when you're talking about all these things, for me, what I take from this is that it's a balance. And I don't mean that, okay, I can go and get smashed on a Friday night with the alcohol and then eat a salad on a Tuesday. So that means I'm living a balanced life. It's a combination of the things that we have to do. Excuse me. And you know, when you see somebody who is a massive gym fanatic and they really, really go, you know, to the way where it's just all proteins, it's gym twice a day. Mm-hmm. And you get to get to the age of 50, 60 and they look old. Mm-hmm. But yet they've hit the gym, they've looked at the macros, they've done the cardio, they've done everything, but they've neglected all the, maybe the other parts of their life. and they've sacrificed. Yeah. So I think there has to be a balance where, but you take it the other extreme and you see somebody that is maybe overweight, they've not looked after themselves, but they've still got young skin and they look youthful in the face, but their body would show. So I think it's reaching that balance of, you know, having the right food, the right sleep, the right people around them, being loved and appreciated, yeah. doing the exercises, having a job that gives them fulfillment. Like, that's what I think is the balance. You know,
yeah. I have a question for you guys. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, James.
No, go on.
So my question to you guys is, how old do you feel? What's the number that
18.
Comes up? 18?
No, 25
after,
maybe?
After yesterday? I'm kidding.
I had a rough day yesterday, everybody. If you want to know about it, send me an email.
But what's the number? What's the number that comes up? Like if I ask how old do you feel, what number comes up?
I literally still feel like, I feel like physically I'm in my 20s. I feel though that being the age that I am, with the insight, wisdom, experience, all the things, I feel more powerful and more amazing than I've ever felt in my life. Like, this is the beginning of the best time in my life. I don't know if that's true for a lot of people. I had a conversation with a very dear friend of mine who I've known since I was a teenager, and she's a nurse in the US, in Seattle. And she was talking about how, as in that field, and in most fields, she's like, I'm one of the old ones now. Like, there's these young nurses coming in, I'm feeling irrelevant. Her kids are growing up. They're younger than my kids. Her kids are growing up though. And, you know, what's the horizon for me now? Am I moving my way into irrelevance? And I was like, dude, there's an overwhelming current in the direction that says, you know, in your 20s, you're building your career and you're meeting your partner. In your 30s, it's about family. In your 40s, it's about expertise. And then it's like downhill from there, which is total bullshit, like, in my view. But the world kind of looks at it that way. And I'm like, yeah, surround yourself with different people because you're the most powerful you've ever been. You're the smartest, wisest, most experienced. Like, you have more to give now than ever before.
So what if you asked him that question, what would he say? What do you think you would say? How do you feel? Like, how old do you feel?
It's a good question. A lot of my friends talk about aches and pains and age and retirement and stuff. So again, that's the focus.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And again, what you focus on expands. So the second that, you know, it's a good question. Well, James, how old do you feel?
I'd say maybe 10 years younger, maybe 30.
Yeah. And I say 29. And the thing is, I think, you know, in our group, you know, if how do I say, like, I love doing this thing because I feel like I'm 29, not in the sense of, you know, well, yeah, I'm immature too, but I could be me, and I feel good after any conversation I have with you guys, right? Because the thing is, if you surround yourself by people that focus on the aches and pains and the problems, okay, it's like, how old do you feel after that conversation? You feel drained.
The worst. Yeah. So funny, I met with a guy last week who kept talking about how old he was. He was in the agency, like marketing agency business, and I didn't know how old he was. And then he finally said, I'm 56. And I was like, oh, in my head, I'm like, that's not old. And I didn't say anything at that point. But then at one point I offered up, I'm like, I'll be 50 next year. He's like, what? Like, you know, being nice, said that I looked younger than that. But what was interesting is, like, he was, it felt like he was thinking, I'm in the twilight of my career. And I'm like, oh, like, we're not on the same page from that perspective. Cause, like, again, the time that I have the most value to offer the world is now.
Cause I visited Dubai and I met five friends, colleagues. I don't know what they are with you, James, but the ages ranged from what, 29 to
50.
50. Yeah. If you ask me the age, it's not even, I don't know, James, how do I explain? Cause the group, it was such a connected experience, mm-hmm. right? It was during Ramadan. So they had all these events that they had at night after their fast. The conversations were deep, meaningful, connected, fun. We were laughing our butts off. We're in an environment that I mean, I don't know, James, tell him, because I can't even put words into it. It was amazing. But there was no age. Age difference that you can.
Well, I guess energy doesn't have an age, right?
Yeah.
So you're passing energy between people, and the feelings that you get from sharing something and receiving something in conversations, you can't put an age or time on that. So,
yeah,
and that's
that.
That's what makes you feel it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, you are
that.
The
Maybe
average.
I should TM it that energy doesn't have an age.
I think you should. That was like a giant insight bomb, James.
Say that one.
I like it.
But yeah, I think that's what you're saying, right, Stel? That it was if everyone who was out behind a closed door and you said, what is the age of all these people, it would be impossible to say, because the flow and the experience and the it was just all in synergy, and it was the same.
Do you think it's about what you focus on? Like when you think about just different groups, like you're saying this group that you guys were with, different groups, depending, like if the focus is about ideas and impact and I don't know, even if it's your soccer team or something, the focus is not on the age, but we have a culture that hyper-focuses on it, which is, you are kind of swimming upstream in some environments if you want to not focus on it.
I just share something? So,
you know, yeah, you know what came up, James?
What?
Vavavaroon!
I don't know what they're talking about.
It's probably best that we don't share that. So there's a couple of friends that lived in our building that are probably in the mid 70s. Okay, and they're a sweet, cute couple. And what was really interesting is that they surrounded themselves with probably 10, 20 groups or 10, 20 friends, 5 to 10 groups that were all 20, 30, 40 years younger than them. And the energy that the two of them had, you would never, ever say that they're in the 70s. You would have said that they're in the 50s.
Love that.
And you know what was really nice is they clearly had the most amount of experience to share with us, life experiences and everything, and they were super well traveled. But what did they do best? They actually, instead of telling us about their lives, they were exceptional at asking questions. And they would flip it. So do you know what? We wanted to spend time with them because they actually made us feel great. So that we actually went, oh, we love this couple. They make us feel great. They ask us questions. They talk more about us than about them. So we want to spend time with them. So it was almost like they made us feel good. So we gave them energy. So we wanted to spend time with them. And we clearly made them feel great.
I think that's beautiful. Yeah. That's a lesson for everybody, regardless of age, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So many things in my head right now. Okay. Two things. And we all belong to Strategic Coach. So there's a whole bunch of amazing principles. And one of them that Dan always talks about during your free day, which is defined as no work related activities whatsoever in a 24-hour period. Right. So ideally you want to shut off technology and just be. Right. And then I work with the Orthodox Jewish community, and the Shabbos is the same thing. It's like 24 hours, no technology, no nothing. And one of the things that was interesting for me is in an environment like that, right, where a lot of the times we rely on work conversations, you start becoming more interested in the other person instead of interesting in what it is that you provide. Right. And the conversations go off on tangents that, you know, it's 9 hours of Shabbos, you know, talking about philosophy and unbelievable things where you get this deeper connection. Right. So, and both of you guys are really good at, Mary, you're really good at it in terms of asking the questions to engage the conversation. Right. And your whole thing around discovering someone's purpose is based on those deep-seated questions to then start thinking about it. And again, I experienced it personally, but thinking at it at a level that you never thought about before, which then stimulates conversations from an unconscious place. So that's the first thing that came up. In terms of the unconscious, I realized that a lot of the questions that are asked, like how old you feel, comes from unconscious programmings that are occurring internally inside of us, right? Because one of the I'm not going to say it because it's called a lifetime extender strategic coach, but for those of you that are going to join, it's going to be part of, you know,
I think conceptually it's a cool thing to talk about, which is just to say, pick a day you want to die. It has nothing to do with your chronological age, and it changes your time horizon. So arbitrarily I picked 124, and Dan Sullivan did this. And so, you know, people would ask him, well, what happens if you die before you're 100? This is 156 or something. He's like, well, I won't be here. So only other people will be disappointed. But it changes the whole time horizon. Like, if I think I'm going to die at 70, well, gosh, I better like hang up my boots and start winding down. But if I think I have all these other decades in front of me, then I live like I'm living and not dying for longer. I think it's a cool concept to bring up for the group. Yeah.
Well, because the thing
and that shows, right?
Yeah, go ahead, James. No,
That shows as well, because the reason he extends the life is because he said, or teaches us, that if you've got the right time, money, purpose, and relationships, why would you die?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back to saying, you know, okay, what's the typical age? 80, 75, most people say, and say, okay, what would you like your health, your relationships, the money situation, your purpose to be like at that stage? And everyone says, well, great, but what's the chance of dying if it's like that? And that goes back to what we're talking about now with the balance of everything. But if you work on them key areas, you're going to feel great. You're going to feel as young as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
be around people who are focusing on aches and pains and aging and things like that bring your focus into that area, right?
We have unconscious motivators that determine what that age is, right? And the reason I brought up the whole unconscious piece is that if, say, for example, somebody's parent passed away at a young age, or their parents passed away at a young age, that gets embedded, right? So that becomes part of the program to say, well, if they died young, what happens if I die young? And then that number starts perpetuating to say, okay, well, here's this 70 years old or 60 years old or something that's there, right? In their minds. So now the question is, if we can reframe that construct to say, okay, what is it that we can tell ourselves in order to then create this expansion, right? So James, you said it, like, what's my purpose now? Again, we talked about, why did these things happen for me? What are my relationships that I'm going to focus on? Who do I want to hang out with? All of a sudden the mindset changes to say, holy jumping, I just added 30 years to this lifetime of mine at an unconscious level. And then you put things into action so that, the mind and the body and the spirit are all starting to believe it, because the whole thing is, how do you feel? If you don't feel like you're going to be 150, it means nothing. Okay. The second you feel like you're 150 and you're like, man, I have like 100 years left. We got so much time here. Let's make it happen. And you get excited to then live life, right? Because that's the one thing that I'm going to finish off with, is to say the important thing is to live life now. Okay. And just be in the moment now. And Mary, you brought it up with the primary question conversation that we talked about on like a couple of days ago. Which, go ahead and talk about it, because it's amazing. Share.
I'm on the heels of a 6-day Tony Robbins Date with Destiny seminar. It's quite intense. It's like 12 hours a day. And I fell asleep for a lot of it just because I value sleep and I don't want to age quicker than planned. But one of the cool, like, disruptive moments in the day two or three was understanding what your primary question is. And it's a bit of a brain puzzle, because you're like, what would your primary question? So I'm still kind of floating around going, what is it? But essentially it is, if you start to notice how you show up to everything. And so in the world of Tony, he gave this great story about, no matter where he goes, he was showing up and making notes about how to make something better. And so he almost obsessively, and then at one point he realized, oh shit, I'm doing that because I have this subconscious need to make things better, to then be valuable, to be worth loving, kind of thing. And so understanding that, and then is that a primary question that serves you or not? And it's floating, I think, still to your point about the subconscious, it's kind of floating around with you, whether you realize it or not. And understanding if that is limiting you or empowering you. And so for a lot of people, even on the aging discussion, it would be, you know, what are all the ways I'm getting older and less relevant and da, 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 da. I mean, there could be something around that. You know, you see it a lot with famous people and actresses in particular, because they're, you know, famous and probably for being beautiful and all these things. And then when they feel like their physical asset has diminished, what else is left, you know? And so you see lots of like cosmetic surgery, and then they could, you know, fall out of the spotlight and all these things, right? So what's your primary question? And on aging, for me, my primary question is like, how am I going to make the next, you know, how am I going to make the second half of my life more amazing than the first? You know, like I'm just getting started. So but what was my primary? Yeah.
So what is your primary focus these days? If there was a primary question that guides your entire life, that drives the focus of your life, what would it be? What question do you ask most often that drives the majority of your behavior? So that was the question, just so the listeners can put some context to it, but go ahead. So,
yeah, I just think that asking that question on the nose is a tough question to answer, because it's so embedded in the way that you show up that you have to spend some time monitoring. Like I like to use life examples as a mirror for what matters to you, as opposed to like, hey, James, what's your primary question? You'd probably be like, I don't know. Give me a minute to think about it.
Well, but I would immediately go, how can I be more valuable?
Yeah.
How can I be more valuable to the people that I love? How can I be more mm-hmm. valuable to the clients? How can I be more valuable to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start.
So you
with
know
that
right away what it is.
Because then because it should never be about us, right? It should always be about the other people.
Right.
If we can create more value and keep creating more value and more value and more value, then we're constantly growing and expanding.
Yeah. I think that's a really powerful primary question. It like some of the examples that came up are like, how can I take care of myself? What are they thinking about me? How do I fix this? Why do I always have to do everything? What's wrong with me? Why don't I fit in? Am
it's
I the
all
best?
You. It's all me.
Well, or it's also the ones that live under it's the surface and you beliefs. Don't realize. Yeah. It's the limiting beliefs. It's the ones that say, so if you say, James, intellectually, I show up and say, how can I add value? Because I do that too. Underneath that, is there a primary question that says, I'm not valuable enough? And so I need to deliver value so that I can be worth it. So it's getting to that space underneath that you might not have at a conscious level. And that's why I feel like it's a deep question that you're like, I'm still playing around with whether I know what thing shows up underneath all of it. Do you know, Sal?
I do. James?
No, go on, you go.
No, it's, look, one of the things that we have as a common thread is personal growth and development. I mean, we're constantly growing, we're constantly learning, we're curious, we ask questions, we want to understand. You know, Mary, you have your Inside Out program, which again, it's like the key thing is to line up what's going on the inside with what's going on behaviorally on the outside. And it's not simple. You know, we have emotional, I think we talked about this before, but there's emotional development that happens with all of us that runs an internal program. So, you know, I'm like you guys, it's like I help others, do things for others, empower others, inspire others, da da da.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden now it's like, am I doing this because I need validation and to be acknowledged? I'm like, darn. Okay, hold on a second here. So now what is it that I need to discover inside for me to be in communion with who I am? So then there's a genuine and authentic expression of what it is that I'm now doing that's in alignment. So actually, I won't tell you the primary question yet. James, speak. I'll bring it up in a second.
So what you just said, I was actually going to, yeah, I agree with that. Because if we felt fulfilled, then why would we want to help other people so much to then to bring back fulfillment to ourselves? But then, you know, everything, I think a lot of the inventions and a lot of the most successful people in the world has come from either from fear. We've talked about that it is driven by fear. So
yeah,
maybe the reason why I want to give so much is because I feel empty and insignificant inside. Maybe, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Like
I think self-evaluation is always there, even though we're trying to give more. Like if you ask, you know, let's say, for example, Tony Robbins is one of the biggest givers in the world. Let's just say, for example, mm-hmm. if you said, am I enough? I think he'd probably say, no, like, yes, I am, but I want more. I want to achieve more because we're constantly on this path for greatness. It's never enough, because then why we wouldn't be doing this podcast if what we have is enough.
Yeah.
You can't stay level. You're either moving forward or backwards. There is no sideways. So
I think the opportunity is to come from a place of empowerment versus limitation. And so the net result, someone on my team once said to me, and it was about development and growth and all of that. And like, I do a lot I like to learn and I like to take care of my physical body. And so I like to learn all the ways to do that. And she said to me, you do that from a place of like nurturing, but when I do that, it's from a place of self judgment. And so the result is the same. We're doing things to take care of ourselves, but the motivation is different.
Yes.
And that, you know, that would change significantly your life experience, how it feels to you. And I think to what Stella was saying, how it is expressed in the world, like energetically, would feel different too. So I think it's like, is it worth digging in to understand what the motivator is, and then flipping mm-hmm. it, like reframing the motivator from a place of like abundance versus lacking.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm still trying to figure it out. Like I was texting Stella on the weekend. I'm like, primary questions, totally messing with me. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know the answer. So we're still working on it. We're a work in progress over here. Clearly. Yeah.
Never ending. My primary question actually, I realized my current primary question was realized on Tuesday. As strategic coach, and I don't remember what exercise we were doing, but anyway, so what I realized is, if I ask the question, what gets me into flow state? Okay. Mm-hmm. Or in the moment, you could call it whatever you want. Most often, okay, that provides me meaningful, magical moments with amazing people that I have deep connections with. Okay, this podcast is a good example.
Mm.
Okay, because I mean, you guys know, like the two of you tend to prepare and ask questions and organize everything beforehand. I'm just like, I'm just here. I used to be.
Oh, we know.
but I used to be the one that would have prepared for the podcast a month before. Ask every possible question that we can possibly ask each other.
Why didn't we know Stella back then?
it could have been super useful.
No, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And the thing is, like when I spoke on stage for the first time, it was brutal because my mind was going a mile a minute and all the possibilities and I couldn't be present.
Okay, yeah.
And then over the years, I've learned, you know what? Love and respect these two. I know it's going to be amazing. However, it's going to show up. Just be in the moment and be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn that. This isn't new. It's work in progress.
You switch off and let it go.
It continues mm-hmm. to be. But to switch off and let go, it's still work in progress for me. You know, there's a great book called Letting Go, which I highly recommend. What's his name? You guys remember the author? Dawkins.
No, I don't know that one.
I think it's Dawkins. But it was amazing because I thought it was letting go, like let go of your stuff, let go of limiting beliefs, let go of this, let go of that. Like it had nothing to do with that. You know what it had to do with? The state and the frequency that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you focus on the highest frequency was love, joy, peace, universal flow, that type of thing. It allows you to literally let go of everything that's underneath because you're running at a different state and idea, and it's amazing. I mean, look, the theory sounds great, but it takes work, right?
No, it does, but I'll tell you what, that is the essence of my Tony Robbins experience last night with that meditation, was getting to that level of energy and recognizing that that's who I am at a soul level, which I know sounds woo-woo. I'm not really like a dialed into being super woo-woo. I get energy and I feel it, but I don't understand it very much. So I don't go there intellectually very often. But yesterday I was like, oh, that's what this is about. It's being at that frequency. So
and what did I say to you this morning? Your energy is amazing. And it looks like you let go, or I don't remember the words I used, but it was.
Well, that was a really beautiful experience after a really hard day yesterday. I don't know. I'm going to have to dissect yesterday a little bit. It's some challenging.
You look 10 years younger. What's your trick to longevity, Mary?
I was just at a resort as if it were, what is it, 1996.
See?
No, come on. She wants 20 years younger, not 10.
That's right. That's
she wants
right.
To be 29.
Thank you.
She wants to be 29. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. Well, that's a really big, we should probably wrap it now. Now that we've talked about a lot of things, this was really fun. Oh, and you know what? Just for listeners, our express purpose, our topic was the blue zones, for which we talked about not at all.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in the blues.
I was going to say that we should probably talk about that at some other stage, because I thought if you were going to open that up, that in itself is like a 20 minute conversation. So
no, but
leave
if
a
people
comment,
are interested.
Leave a comment if you do want to for us to have a chat about the blue zones. Not that we are experts at it, but we have, of course, have some comments on it.
That's right. We're not experts at anything. We're people who are interested in a lot of things. And that's why we're doing this, right?
Do the blue zones have nude beaches?
You have to read the book. Dan Buettner, blue zones.
they're the new
zones. I think your blue zones would if you had to create one.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure who's going there with you.
The deep blue zones.
We will not be recording a podcast from those blue zones. Anyway, okay. Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you very much.
Not on video, anyway.
Definitely not. No, I won't be there. I will maybe zoom in.
Yeah.
My camera off and everything, anyway.
I zoom in. Oh boy, this is really getting fun.
I know.
Turn on that note.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See you soon.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram @meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.